Radio.
We're talking to happy mum Serena Kirby, who's written a book, A Better Late Than Never Baby, a mum for the first time at the age of 43, and your little darling son by the name of?
Riley.
Riley is how old now?
He's 7.
Oh, he's looking gorgeous.
I know, that makes me nearly 51.
No. But you know what, I had a few people call through earlier today who had babies late in life, and they said the only thing that they had, their father was a lot older than the mother, it seemed, but that they missed the fact that dad didn't do the stuff with them. But things could have been worse. It could have been a young dad that never kicked the football anyway. So
that's right.
If you start to weigh things up, it's a bit silly, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I call them, well, now, because with more older mothers, there's also the older fathers, and I call them the Mads, the mature age dads.
Yeah, good one.
And I mean, they've got their own story to tell, which I've touched on in the book as well, and they certainly have a lot of great things to bring to the conversation about it.
Back in the 79, I had my young son now, and I was considered at 32 to have a geriatric pregnancy or something. What's it called officially?
Well, it's called a lot of things. Crazy. prima gravida is the more medical term.
But you know what? How things have changed since then. And there's got to be a lot of reasons why it's considered safer now. I mean, the obvious was back then that you weren't too sure how the child was going to be.
Well, nowadays women are healthier. That is the predominant change that's making this all happen. We're more concerned with our health. There's less diseases that we've been in contact with, so therefore just our whole genetic makeup is stronger.
Gosh, it's changed, hasn't it?
It has. There's also more testing that's available.
The big thing. Yeah.
And then not just the testing but the treatment. Yeah. As well. So those factors, those are the key ones.
Don't you lose, without me knowing about fertility issues, but don't women start to lose their eggs at a fairly young age, like into their 30s? So the chance of getting pregnant at an older age is fairly difficult.
Yeah, it is. And also they say that women release their most fertile, their best eggs first. So therefore, the later on in life, you're releasing the eggs that aren't as good.
Yeah, the cage variety.
Yeah. And it's also that they've been in your body longer, so they've been subjected to all the things that you've put into your body and your environment.
So therein lies the risk for the child?
Yes, and for the mother. But in saying that, research shows, and as I said, this is a reference book, it's also heavily, heavily researched, that most older women do not have medical complications.
Mm-hmm.
And well, most babies are born without complications.
See, no one would have taken that chance years ago.
No.
That's the difference, isn't it? So obviously the capacity was always probably there for most women in their late 30s and so on. I mean, we've got cases overseas of women in their 60s. I mean, when you look at the reality of it, though, your age as the child grows, of course, is, you know, you might end up being sick yourself, which is sad, and the child's still growing.
But I think, I mean, those are the exception.
They are, aren't they?
You know, they're very, those are few and far between. We've got one of our mums in our network on our great Facebook family who just had twins at 47.
Gosh.
So that's a big one.
What are you crying for? I just fed you. What is wrong with you? I can see it at night at 2 a.m. Oh, my God.
But she had a lot of assistance to get that pregnancy.
Yeah.
And a lot of years of anxiety. But there are still so many of us out there falling pregnant naturally, by accident or by surprise or by design. So.
See, the health fraternity really have to think very carefully about this, because there's been a lot of reasons why they're having them later. Like yourself, you didn't think you could, but a lot of women are having careers. They're trying to get their home paid off and get themselves settled. Well, years ago, that wasn't an option. There was never the right time. You had a child in your 20s and that was what you were meant to do.
But I found that in my research and with the mothers that I spoke to, most of them, it was circumstance, not choice.
Mm.
It was, didn't have the right partner, had a relationship that they'd stayed with and then it broke up, so they needed to start all over again.
Yeah, true.
Or, just didn't circumstances, yeah. more than choice, which was that an interesting thing.
That is interesting, because I think we perceive women these days having to want it all, and, you know, maybe babies down the track a bit, they want to travel, want to work, and that's how we've been, that's what we've been told anyway.
Oh, that's it.
Let's get to the book.
Yes.
This is just fantastic. I mean, you're in such demand with this, aren't you?
I am.
You're off to Sydney, did you say?
Yes, I'm off to Sydney tomorrow to do an interview with Radio National.
Fantastic.
Yep, so that's good. And I've just done the annual midwives conference here in Perth.
They would have loved you.
Oh, and I loved them. They're just the most, I mean, it's like being in a room full of hugs.
Yes.
You know, they're just, they're adorable.
They think you're just beyond human. Yes. So, okay, let's look at some of the context here. Mm-hmm. Okay, your story is the one that was the catalyst for the book.
It was.
Okay. So you don't pull punches on this?
No, I tell it warts and all.
Mm-hmm. Give us a few of the warts.
Oh, I had a real battle with becoming a mother. I didn't know what was wrong with me, and that's what I put in the book. I thought I was a maternal misfit. I thought I was maternally flawed. I really
came down on yourself, did you?
I did, because I couldn't work out what was wrong, and no one had the answer for me, and no one clicked as to what I was going through. And the simple thing I was going through was adjustment. Mm. And I never read about it. No one ever told me, not even the health professionals. And as soon as I started researching and the light bulb went on and I went, oh, I'm normal.
Yeah.
So I think it's that thing of, in telling my story, I wanted to debunk the myth that motherhood is easy.
Mm-hmm.
And just to let people know that, look, if you're having trouble adjusting, you're just like the
Everyone
rest of
has.
Us.
Every new mum has got to adjust.
And I think this is what's really captivated my readers so far, and that's what I'm getting response on is, you know, you're telling my story, and I can't believe how much your story is like mine. And every woman at some stage, not every woman, of course there are exceptions to the rule, but most new mothers feel those moments of...
Have to. Doubt.
Of, scared. Oh my God.
What have I got a living being I've got to be responsible for?
Yeah. And sometimes you can't even articulate that. You feel like a fish out of water. In one of the studies done by a couple of American researchers, they said that when they researched older mothers, that these mothers said that midlife motherhood was like undergoing molecular rearrangement. And it really is. You don't understand how it pulls your body into a new shape because you've got to accommodate a new life. And it's quite hard going from being completely selfish as a single person or as a childless person and then to being, you know, giving everything.
You're three.
Yeah.
Mm. So. And it's a responsibility. And you're expected by most to be so joyous 24 hours a day because you're awake nearly 24 hours a day, glowing, picture perfect.
Small waistline.
Small waistline immediately because it's on telly. Right. They all do. Yeah. They have a miracle weight loss, you know, new mums on telly. Yes, I can imagine it is tough. So when did you get to the realisation that you didn't have to beat yourself up and how did you get around that?
I think it took, it actually took probably 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, that is a long time.
It is.
How did you struggle through the three?
Well, I was diagnosed with postnatal depression and, you know, I doubt now whether I actually really ever had it. It's an easy thing to diagnose because they have a test, but there are other things that I was actually going through at the time that I didn't know about at the time, which was I was suffering from fatigue, which they don't have a test for. I was suffering from adjustment. I also had a thyroid condition.
Oh my gosh.
I've got to say, and the thing is that so many women that I interviewed for this book had all of the same things. I've even, it's phenomenal. Yes. And they'll go, I bet you didn't have tendonitis. And I'm going, I did. And it's just quite bizarre that the first thing the doctors will diagnose is postnatal depression without looking at all the other symptoms and causes of what could be going
on.
Well,
you're going to get depressed because you're not coping.
That's
and it
right.
comes from sleep deprivation and all the things that you've mentioned. You're doing stuff in a daily routine that you've never had to do before, you know, to get up. We were getting home at 2 a.m, not getting up and changing a nappy.
That's right.
But, you know, the joy that it must have brought you. once you've adjusted and...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing with that I also didn't know about motherhood was that it is filled with contradiction. And as soon as I learnt that as well, there is a yin and a yang to it. You know, there's times when your cup is overflowing and then you're dying of thirst, basically.
Yeah, true.
And I think every mother, I'm pretty sure every mother, that is a universal thing. Once I realised that was the case, that it was okay to have a bad thing that I didn't like as opposed to always having good things. But look, my son is, you know, I say that he is. I get very emotional when I talk about him.
So you should. It's something that, you know, you've adjusted your life to. It was not an easy thing to happen. You never thought you would.
No.
And here's this gorgeous little boy now that you've got in your life. And so it's changed your career, your lifestyle. Have you got sort of the playroom and all that?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah, the place where we used to have cocktails is now the play area. But that's all good. You know, I mean, you can only do that for so long, I think, too. And
so what are some of the other stories that you got from women?
Oh, definitely the one about lack of support from partners and those people that were close to them.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because they weren't asking?
Yeah.
Ah.
Older women don't like to ask because we haven't had to.
Gotcha.
You know, we're quite used to doing everything ourselves.
Yes.
And, you know, we are doing ourselves a disservice by not thinking that it's okay to ask.
You so are, because your friends and family don't want to go over that line and intrude.
Mm.
And unless you ask, they're more than happy to do whatever you wish. That's a very good point.
So, and the other thing was that everybody presumes that you're going to be able to do it easier.
Because you're older and wiser.
That's right. And that's not actually the case.
No. In fact, quite the reverse.
Exactly. Yeah. So that whole presumption and expectation elevates the pressure you put on yourself and that other people put on you.
What sort of average age have you come across of women that are coming or mentioning it to you that they've had their child later in life?
Look, I'm actually finding most of the women that I'm now getting in touch with are over 40.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of the process, the book took 3 years to research and write. There's 160 references.
Can I ask how you researched, where you went to, what sort of things you were looking for?
I accessed medical research. So and social research on the medical databases and the like. I read, I think it was 37 books on anything to do with the topic. And I think out of that there was only two books that were dedicated to older mothers. One was an American one that was 15 years old because there was nothing else.
Mm.
And there was another one that was just not my thing.
So this sort of book and information would be something welcomed all around the world.
Oh, absolutely. Already there's discussion here at Curtin about looking at taking it on as a research project.
Wow.
Because I've identified...
In the midwifery area.
Because I've identified quite a few gaps in the knowledge.
There's
a lot of old research on medical complications to do with mothers. There's not a lot of recent research.
So
that's one of the areas. And also looking at their experiences. One of the senior lecturers at Curtin had said that this was a great snapshot of a lived experience as it is now in today's society. So, if nothing else, I've created a permanent record of what it is at this time in someone's life, in this era, to have this experience. And I think that, for me, that's,
I just think it's absolutely invaluable. And the women that you're talking to, all of a sudden they're able to relate their stories to you, which they've never probably...
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, they were expected to do it all.
That's right.
At their age, they've held down corporate positions or run a home, had dinner parties every Saturday night.
And the other thing I touched on in the book, I give a whole chapter to actually, is the older mother, only child combination. And that is also very, very common.
Mm.
And there's not a lot of research on how many of these older mothers...
Only have the one child.
Yeah, because you've actually got to wait until that mother reaches the end of her childbearing years before you can conduct the research, because she might slip another one in.
True.
So that is something I'd really like to know, and certainly a lot of the mothers that I spoke to only have one.
Mm.
So
Do they have concerns of their age when the child is growing up? I mean, you're going to be 70, your son's going to be... I can't add up at the
60.
Moment.
Oh, no, he'll be... Sorry, he's 7 now and yeah. I'm 50.
Yeah, okay, we'll work that out. You're going to be at an age there where you won't want to rush down to the playground, perhaps. But you're healthy.
I don't want to do that anyway.
No,
okay. Already.
Good on you. Okay, we solved that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm very cautious about the types of holidays that I book. Mm. And I actually put that in the book, when looking after an only child as an older mother, you know, you've got to seek out activities where there are other children.
Company and...
Yeah, you've got to seek out opportunities where there's someone else who can step in and share the load on taking your child to do things and a whole situation around that.
Is it important to have a partner?
Oh, look, I think any relationship with a child benefits from having a partner.
Mm. There's a lot of single women out there through circumstance, like you say, haven't had children and may be capable through the IVF program. And if they do they find it any tougher? Have you had anyone come up to you about that?
Well, see, I lost my marriage as a consequence to what happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and I certainly have a lot of women that I interviewed that have gone through the same thing at about the same time. See, a lot of relationships end in the first 5 years after having children.
Okay.
So that first 5 years is pivotal in ensuring that your marriage continues or helping your marriage to continue. So if you're having issues with fatigue, postnatal depression, adjustment, all those sorts of things, it puts amazing pressure on your marriage. And unfortunately, my marriage didn't survive it.
Oh, that's awful, isn't it? I mean, it takes away the cream of the whole story.
Oh, it does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. But at least I've got a beautiful son.
You sure have, yeah.
His father lives across the road.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
And we cooperate.
Actually, that's an ideal marriage.
It is, isn't it? I know.
Can't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, we co-parent. And look, I would say, yeah, there was a high number of older women. And that's another reason for writing the book, is I wanted to put up some signposts and some strategies for women that, hey, if you are feeling that you're experiencing some of these same things as me, here's some things that you can do to help yourself out so that you don't face the same pitfalls that I did.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. Thank goodness it's come along and thank goodness you've done it, Serena.
Thank you.
Available out there now?
Yes, it's on the website, but you can just Google Better Late Than Never Baby. It's in paperback and ebook and Kindle and all the electronic.
Covered it. You know how to do it, don't you?
Hopefully.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
It's
Jenny.
Just lovely to catch up with you again.
And you too.
It's amazing the twists in life.
I know.
And the turns you don't
quite
know. Who would have thought?
I always say life is stranger than fiction.
Yep. You're right, absolutely right. Thank you, Serena.
Thank you.
Serena Kirby joining us.
Thank you.